It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
hang out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Tuesday. I know you say, wait a minute, why is Victor Jakes on Tuesday? He's normally on Monday. He had a scheduling conflict and said, hey, I can't join you Monday, but I can join you Tuesday. And here he is in studio. Good morning, Victor Jakes.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Hang on one second. We're going to move this microphone. Whoops. There we go. We had a little microphone problem.
Good morning. For
good, morning good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good weekend for you and
yeah,
the family?
Yeah, it was great. It was my last weekend in the last drill for the guards.
Oh, my gosh. So. Well, can I tell you, thank you. I know you've spent many, many weekends doing your duty, and thank you. A grateful nation thanks you.
I appreciate that.
Are you just going to find a new activity for weekends, like, honey, I got to go away for a weekend. I'm going to Laughlin or something.
I think my kids and my wife have claim on all those weekends. So,
there's a backlog. I want to ask you. We're going to have a new administration coming in January. Governor-elect Steve Sisolak will become Governor Steve Sisolak. We've got a new legislature that'll be sworn in. We got another session that will begin in February, and I want to ask you, a lot of people are starting to talk about, you know, Sisolak promised a lot and also tried to essentially promise that he wouldn't raise taxes. Although he said, and you've seen all the ads, you know, all taxes are on the table.
Yeah, he talked out of both sides of his mouth during the campaign. So during the primary, he said, everything's on the table with taxes. And then during the general, he said, no, now is not the right time to raise taxes. You know, of course, that is a huge weasel word. Now is not the right time. Before you vote is not the right time to talk about raising taxes. Now, after you put me in office, that'll be the right time. But he also promised, I mean, just massive spending increases. He wants collective bargaining for state workers, and that means more pay for state workers. That's all that means. He promised massive increases in education spending. He wanted to continue the expansion of Medicaid without the work requirements that Adam Laxalt had wanted to put in. And he wanted to just do new things like increase reimbursement rates for doctors with Medicaid. I mean, these things all cost money, and even with a growing economy, there's simply not enough money to do them all without raising taxes.
What is your sense, and I don't know whether you've had a chance to talk to anybody from the Democrat side of the Assembly or the State Senate, but are you getting any inkling at all about how they plan to do this, how they plan to add all these services, all these whiz-bang ideas, and do it without a tax increase?
You know, actually, I interviewed Senator Mo Dennis for my show yesterday, which will air on Thursday on the Review Journal website, shameless plug. He's the Senate Education Committee chair. And basically he said they, you know, they want things like weighted funding formula, but they're not going to push a tax increase for it, which basically means they're going to put it in place and not fund it, or not fund it very much. And so I think that's what you're going to see, is I think you're just going to see modest spending increases, especially in the realm of education, compared to what was kind of promised and you know, what the implication was when Sisolak was talking. I think the spending increases are going to be modest.
But there can be no modest increase when it comes to things like Medicaid expansion. You know, if indeed they're talking about doctor reimbursement increases, that is a dramatic increase, is it not?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, the Medicaid expansion is costing like $200 million more. So just for context, the state is going to have around $600 million more to spend than they did in the last biennium. And so you're going to see things like, you know, $200 million of that is gone to Medicaid expansion. You're going to see, the PERS rate increase is going to cost them $40 million. And so I just think, you know, Sisolak basically told the teachers unions, you know, look, here you're going to get this blank check, essentially. He's just not going to be able to deliver that unless he wants to raise taxes.
The words of Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. When will we start to see? And you know the protocol leading up to the session. When do we start getting a handle on what budgets are going to look like and what income is going to look like? What outflow, at least under the current Sandoval budget, is looking like? Are we ahead of schedule, behind schedule, that kind of thing? When do we start getting an idea as consumers, as constituents, as to where all this money is going to end up going?
Well, yesterday the Economic Forum met, and they're the ones who make the projections for how much money the state's going to have to spend. And they came back and said, you know, it's going to be about $8.8 billion for the state to spend, which is really good. I mean, again, that's almost a 10% increase over where we are right now. I mean, 8% increase maybe. And then by January, when Sisolak delivers the state of the state, traditionally, the governor will release his budget, you know, that day, and then he'll talk about it in the state of the state. So mid-January, we'll have an idea of what Sisolak wants to do. And again, who basically was hoodwinked during the campaign, because there's some promise in there that's not going to be fulfilled.
I want to ask you, we have already begun the process, relative to who's going to represent District 36 in the assembly. The late Dennis Hoff passed away 3 weeks from Election Day. There is a circuitous route to fill that vacancy. There is potential court action. Can you give us an update on where we are? And will we know by Thursday night who it is that's going to be serving the people of District 36 in Pahrump, in Nye County, Lincoln, and Clark?
Well, it's a really good question, because what some of Hoff's supporters have said is that the Nye County Commission basically is going to decide, because most of the people in that district live in Nye County. And what Hoff's supporters are saying is that the new commissioners should be the ones to decide, not the old commissioners, some of whom apparently clashed with Hoff over some things. And so I'm not sure where that court action stands. But the Nye County Commission will appoint the successor. It's just a question of, is it the current commission, or will it be the new commission come January?
I want to ask you just kind of a glop-all question, and it involves what we should expect in February when the legislature meets again. Will we have any bipartisanship? Are there any issues that are out there that you think Democrats and Republicans can agree upon? Or is it a matter of it's my way or the highway, and the governor gets what he wants, and the state Senate gets what it wants, and the assembly gets what it wants? I'm talking about Democrats here. Is there any room for bipartisanship at all?
Well, I mean, there'll always be, you know, small bills where there will be wide agreement. But in terms of the big stuff, no, I don't expect Democrats to solicit Republican input at all. I mean, the only reason they would need their votes is if they want to raise taxes, where they need a 2/3 and they need one vote in the Senate. And, you know, hopefully the Republican senators will have the good sense to just, you know, reject tax increases on the face of it. So they may need a Republican vote at the end when one of the budgets, for kind of some technical reasons, needs a 2/3 vote. And that's basically Republicans' only leverage is that vote, because that budget has to pass and they'll need 2/3. But you know, I don't expect Democrats to reach out much at all to moderate the things they want to put in place. I mean, this was the great lost opportunity for Republicans in 2015, is they went and they said, you know, look, we'll give you the compromise. You know, we want, you know, X, and we'll just do half of X because that's the compromise between you and us. And Democrats basically said, oh yeah, we'll definitely agree with that when we come back into power. Oh, for sure. And then, you know, 2 years later, they were like, no, that deal doesn't count. We you know, our fingers
that deal's off. That deal's off the table.
So I don't expect Democrats to moderate at all, especially in terms of things like the labor reforms they want to roll back, expanding collective bargaining to state workers. You know, there's been talk about repealing Nevada's right to work status, and I firmly expect that to go forward. You know, does Sisolak try and kill it behind the scenes? Maybe. I think they're going to do it, but we'll see.
And what of the Republicans? They are in the distinct minority in both the state assembly and the state senate. What is their role in all of this? Do they even need to come to work?
No, not really. I mean, to be honest, I mean, there's always. I mean, the thing is you know, the legislature passes hundreds of bills, and you know, maybe 20% of them are contested, and most of them are, you know, some sort of compromise, or they're about some kind of minor issue or just, you know, something that's not working in state law. And so there's always a need for that. And that's not necessarily a Democrat Republican thing. That's just, you know, being a good legislator thing. But you know, I just think the Democrats are basically going to ignore the Republicans. And you know, why wouldn't they? I mean, the Republicans, you know, barely have a presence.
But what should, and maybe I don't know if we have that much experience, but in decades past, when we've had one party in power, does the other party just go back to its room and just, you know, go back to your room? We'll call you when we need you.
Well, yeah, in some ways they do, especially in the assembly where, I mean, they don't even have a third. I mean, they're just, you know, they're there, and I'm sure there'll be maybe some overtures of bipartisanship, but I mean, they're really going to be ignored. I mean, I think what you have to do as Republicans is you have to think, you know, look, we are going to highlight the crazy stuff that they're doing and make a big stink about it and just be the opposition party and just say, you know, look, we're not going to take, you know, breadcrumbs just to go along and get along. I mean, we're going to be out there and we're going to be active and vocal talking about all the terrible stuff you're doing. And there's going to be plenty of it.
Again, Victor Jakes joining us, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're kind of looking down the road at the next session. Wait, what is this? This is the 80th or 81st?
No, oh, you got me. You got me. I don't know.
I'll figure. Let's see. 78th, 79th. This might be the 80th. This might be. We'll double-check that, and I know we've got enough people out there that work in Carson City that can tell us if this is the 80th or the 81st or... it's not the 79th.
I think it would be the 80th because we came into the union in 61, right?
Yeah.
And so then that would make 19 the 80th.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. More coming up with Victor Jakes, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're talking about not just looking back, but looking ahead. We're going to look ahead for the Republican Party. How can the Republican Party become relevant again in this state? You look back at 2015, and we had all the constitutional offices, and we had we had both houses of the legislature. Can we get back to that point again? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Why do politics matter? Well, because ideas matter. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy, and Nevada Policy, we're focused on those ideas, not politics. Politics are about parties, lawmakers, it's about grandstanding. Ideas, however, are about empowering people and finding solutions. After all, to a parent, an idea such as school choice is not political, it's personal. To taxpayers, the idea of government transparency is not political, it's about ensuring confidence in our public institutions. Ideas like these are what will make a difference in Nevada, regardless of what political parties are running games in Carson City. We won't be able to stop every bad policy dreamt up by the newly elected legislature, nor will we be able to will into existence all the good ones, but we can make sure that the ideas that actually matter to Nevadans have someone fighting for them. Find out what we're fighting for at Nevada Policy. Visit nevadapolicy.org today and sign up to stay informed during next year's legislative session. Let's make sure the right ideas have a voice when lawmakers meet in 2019. Visit nevadapolicy.org.
Hello, this is Brent Jones again, owner of Real Water and Real MMA. As a Nevada businessman, I understand how difficult it can be to stay in business and remain profitable. Taxation, excessive regulation, employment issues, lawsuits, competition, increases in supply cost. The list goes on. That is why a group of concerned business owners formed the Real Chamber of Commerce. We need a pro-business environment in our great state. Unfortunately, taxes have increased dramatically this past year, and regulation just keeps increasing, making it harder and harder to make ends meet. We must take Nevada back. The Real Chamber will work hard on your behalf to fight against additional tax increases and more regulation. You need a chamber that is truly on your side. That is the Real Chamber of Commerce. Please, join Real Water and other concerned business owners. Get involved and help take Nevada back. For more information, go to realchamberofcommerce.com. That's realchamberofcommerce.com or call 702-521-0632.
Have you ever dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with radio production experience and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447. 851-9447.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is Live and Local Now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and you've got your own show.
I do. It's nothing like this show.
Give a shameless plug. It's okay.
It's called Nevada Politics Today, and it is just a video interview show where I will interview someone who's involved in Nevada politics.
It's kind of like Meet minutes. The Press without Chuck Todd, with Victor Jakes instead of Chuck Todd or Jake Tapper.
Yes, a much less talented host.
No,
talking about Nevada
I've seen
issues.
This. I've seen your show. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. You wrote the other day about pre-K. Or no, you're going to be writing about pre-K.
I'm writing about it.
You are going to write about it. I just want to ask you because I've seen studies out there that show essentially pre-K or Head Start or whatever it might be ends up helping a child for about 3 years, and at 3 years it starts tapering off, and all of a sudden the kids are the same.
It's gone. I mean, so that's what you see with pre-K and with full day kindergarten, is there's a temporary learning boost, and then it fades by the third grade. And there's, you know, varying ideas about why it fades, but, you know, the public policy point is that until you figure out why that's happening, probably shouldn't be spending a ton of money on it. But what's interesting is there is a new study out from Canada, and Quebec implemented very, very low cost full day pre-K childcare 20 years ago. And so researchers now have followed those kids. And what they found is that the more time you spent in pre-K, or if you were enrolled in the pre-K, the more likely you were to have behavioral problems, including drug use later on, including your likelihood of being arrested.
Is that right?
That's what they found. I mean, they tracked these kids, and they had a great way to compare them because the rest of Canada didn't do this. You know, so they just compared to what was happening in the other provinces. And so, you know, again, I think, you know, there's this idea that, oh, government schooling is going to fix it all is just completely wrong. And what they found is the effects were especially pronounced among boys and those who were, you know, prone to basically being hyperactive. I mean, which makes total sense. I mean, if I have a 6-year-old boy, I mean, you know, when people talk about the phrase bouncing off the walls,
yeah,
6-year-old boys can literally bounce off the walls. It's incredible. And so I think this idea that we have to rush them into a structured classroom and, oh, they're 4 years old. Well, they better be, you know, they better be in class and sitting still. It's like that's not how especially boys function. And I think there's long-term academic value to letting children play instead of, you know, forcing them into learning things they're not ready.
Coming up on the program, Victor and I are going to talk about the future. We're going to talk about what lies ahead for the Republican Party. We have a new chair of the Clark County Republican Party, David Sajak. There are a lot of people that are talking about leadership at the state level, and should there be changes there? There's a lot of talk going on around the state about how we rebound. Victor and I are going to talk about that. How do we, who is it? And this is something that we've been wrestling with on this program. Who is it that is going to lead us out of the wilderness and into the light in 2020? Remember, these legislative guys, they run again in 2020. We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now.
It ain't me. 790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Kevin Wall with you. Victor Jakes joining us. Three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I want to take a look ahead. We may have to delve into the past in order to get some answers looking forward. But I've talked to a lot of folks. I was at the Clark County election over at the Elks Lodge a week ago where they elected David Sajak as the new chairman of the Clark County Republican Party. All of us are asking the same questions. How do we work our way out of the wilderness, out of the darkness? How do we get back into the light? How do we get back into being relevant, not just here in Clark County, but around the state? Washoe County.
Is it a
blue county?
Well, it's very purple at the moment. You know, I think there's an opportunity with some issues that, you know, I think that, you know, if you just, you know, pull back and look at the 30,000 foot view, you just say, look, Republicans don't do well with the minority community. They don't win majorities with Hispanic voters or with African American voters. And when, you know, Clark County is, if it's not a majority minority, it's very close. That means you're going to be in the minority. And so I think I think what Republicans should do is they should really lean into a couple of issues where the Hispanic and African-American communities widely agreed with them, and that is school choice. That should be just completely hammered on and worked on, and you know, not just in the 2 months leading up to the election, but you know, now is the time for someone to kind of seize the leadership of the Republican Party by going into the Hispanic community and saying, look, this is what we believe about school choice, about providing a better education for your child. And then the other thing I think that Republicans need to embrace here is a conservative position on social issues. You know, Nevada has always, Republican Party has kind of had this libertarian streak, and there's even push to, I think, do something with abortion in the platform. And I think that is just, well, on the merits is a terrible decision, but just strategically is a terrible decision, because you look at the Hispanic and the African-American communities, and they are socially conservative. And so, you know, if you are a Republican and you want to go in on and just find areas of agreement, social conservatism is certainly one. And you've got an issue in terms of the transgender bathroom issue, where especially the Hispanic community is very passionate on, you know, preserving logic and modesty and sense. And the Democrat Party is just driving themselves over the cliff to the left into the crazy town. And I think Republicans need to stop being afraid of those issues and just say, look, we are standing up for the principle that a man is a man and a man should not go into a girl's locker room. Those issues resonate, and they're passion issues. And I think those are opportunities for Republicans in Nevada.
Do we need more people of color as candidates, as consultants maybe, to be able to help guide us to those communities?
Yeah, I think it would. I think it would help. I mean,
and by the way, where are they? Well, you know.
Well, I think this is some of the challenges with the with the lack of infrastructure in the party is there's not those formal efforts to do outreach in the off years, right? I mean, now that the election's over, what Republican groups are in the Hispanic community doing outreach? And we they're not Republican per se, but the Libre initiative is out there kind of pushing conservative principles in the Hispanic community. You look at some of the groups working for school choice, and they're, you know, very involved in the minority communities. And I think those are efforts that are really important. And, you know, I don't know the details of how you piggyback on those as the Republican Party, but I mean, that's what has to be. There has to be that structure, and that, there has to be something existing in the county party aside from, well, it's 3 months before the election, so now we're all getting together.
Well, you mentioned them. ESAs, will they even get a mention in the governor's budget?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, I would be surprised if Democrats didn't just try and repeal the program, although they might just think, why bother? I mean,
it's dead already.
And not funded. I think that the opportunities with opportunity scholarships, you know, the legislature provided $20 million in one-time funding, and, you know, Republicans' top priority should be to make that permanent.
Explain what opportunity scholarships are.
So it's a form of school choice where companies donate to scholarship granting organizations and receive a dollar for dollar tax credit. And then those organizations provide scholarships to low income families, children from low income families, to go to private schools in the state.
And why? And just explain why we have to go to corporations to do this and not just have direct payments from the state.
Well, I mean, there's actually a benefit from it, because then it's not it's never the state's money, and so government feels like it has less. There's less reason for government to meddle in it. But you know, basically, they're trying to avoid the idea that the money's coming from the government, so they're doing it via this tax credit method.
And there's a prohibition. Is there not a prohibition of that? Some sort of either constitutional.
There is, but it's. I think, you know, people will say, well, the Nevada Constitution doesn't allow vouchers, which is where the government gives money directly. I don't necessarily think that interpretation is correct, but you avoid all those problems with the opportunity scholarships because the money was never the government's in the first place. And so this is, I mean, again, this is a 70% issue in the Hispanic community, 70% in support of things like opportunity scholarships, and there's a very good chance Democrats do not bring that $20 million up for extension. And again, that's an opportunity for Republicans to go in there and say, hey, let us work with you to help your children.
Again, Victor Jenks joining us, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Unless you're living under a rock, you probably know that former President George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, is lying in state even as we speak at the Capitol Rotunda. And at least for like 48 hours, it's almost like there's been a ceasefire in this war against Trump. And people are talking civilly. The president, is being nice. Is not kicking dirt on the grave of George H.W. Bush, and it's almost as if this is one of those wars where there's a ceasefire, but it's only for a given time. And then after he's laid to rest on Wednesday tomorrow, all of a sudden we'll go back to bashing Trump.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to remember the media loves Republicans as long as they're dead. And basically that's what you're seeing here. You know, all the same media who portrayed Bush 41 as this total imbecile because he didn't even know what a grocery scanner was. You know, now he's this great hero. And it's interesting, you know, everyone's heard that story that, you know, Bush, he saw this scanner. And you know what it was? It was that the barcode had been ripped and then the scanner was putting the barcode together. That's what actually happened there, but you know, don't let the facts get in the way of your narrative, media. And so again, that's what we're seeing. And Trump is helping himself by not making this event about him. I think the president actually would see a pretty big boost in his approval ratings if he could just every month for a week just make himself not the news. I think that would be good. There's just some Trump fatigue, and so I think when there are times when there's something other than him being talked about, I think that's actually very good for the president. And that's not to neuter him or to say that he isn't a marketing genius, because he certainly is. But there can be too much of a good thing, and I think you see that, you know, when the Brett Kavanaugh thing was happening, the president's approval ratings went up, and I think if this happens and he just honestly just stops talking for the next 3 weeks, I think you'd see his approval ratings go up. So that's an interesting part of this.
We are in the first week of December. Look at your crystal ball and take yourself to the first week of January. Tell me what we're going to see in Washington. Is it going to be total gridlock?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's not, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's what it should be in a country that's closely divided, where obviously Trump is the president and Democrats won a pretty resounding victory in the House of Representatives. And so I think the only substantive thing that's going to happen is you're going to see more judges confirmed and you're going to see spending go up. One of those things is good. So, definitely a lot of gridlock. I whenever the Mueller report comes out and what it looks like is basically there's not going to be any underlying crime. I mean, this idea that somehow Trump, you know, colluded with Russia to steal the election that, you know, majority of the Democrat Party believes. There's been no evidence for it. And so I think it's just going to be, well, Trump hung around with some unsavory people and, you know, some of the political activities were unsavory. Well, welcome to politics. But I think the Democrats are going to feel compelled to impeach the president anyway.
Do you think they'll be successful, at least in the House?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think.
And what's the threshold in the House? Is that
just a majority? I mean, I would be, you know, if I'm Pelosi, do I really want to bring up impeachment of the president? No, because you could just unelect him in 2020. But I just think the Democrat base wants blood, and this is their outlet.
Let me ask you this. Does the Senate have to take up articles of impeachment? If they're passed by the House, does there have to be a trial, or could Mitch McConnell simply say, there's not going to be a trial?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I would assume that the Senate's an independent body and they could do what they want. And, you know, if that happens, I don't anticipate the Senate taking it up by any means. And actually, politically, I mean, this could be the best thing for the president. I mean, you look at Bill Clinton's popularity, and obviously he's helped by the media, but, the impeachment process helped him tremendously politically, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens with Trump with that.
I've just got to get back to doing the work of the American people. That's what he always said. I got to get back to doing the work of the American people. Maybe that's what the president and everybody else should say. always fun. Again, thank you for your service to our country. For those of you that weren't with us at the beginning of the hour, this was his last weekend as a citizen soldier. So you're going to go back to just being a regular old-fashioned civilian, but you got great, great marksman skills. So that's good.
So the zombie apocalypse, I'm ready. So.
There you go. There you go. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Don't just read it. Buy it. Buy it, please. So people like me can just look at it online for free. No. We get three views a month. We're working on that. I'm going to try and get it up to six if I can. Got to call my buddy Glenn Cook. Anyway, thank you so much. We'll do it again next Monday.
Tuesday, actually. My schedule this month is a wreck. So.
Okay.
Tuesday at
Tuesday
9.
It is, man. That's Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He normally joins us on Monday. He'll be Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 1 week from today, as we continue live and local now.
For families across the nation, it's decision time. It's the time to find which health plan will fit your needs. My name is Pat Casale, and I work with the MultiCare Group, and we can help you navigate through all the confusion surrounding you or your family's healthcare options. We can help you find healthcare plans that fit your budget, whether on the exchange or off the exchange. We will help you get tax subsidies where you qualify, and if you don't qualify for subsidies, we're going to help you find the best plan to fit your budget. For instance, in Clark County, Sierra Health and Life offers the most competitive health plans. Let me provide you with an in-depth analysis on which plans make the most sense for you. Compare the plans side by side. The MultiCare Group is licensed to offer you coverage throughout the state of Nevada and in California and other states if necessary. We will find the best plan with guarantees that fit your best budget. For more information, call me, Pat Casale, at the MultiCare Group on my cell, 702-286-1014. That's 702-286-1014, or try the office, 702-396-9449. Give us a call today and see where your options lie. I look forward to helping you real soon.
It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso. That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's. Choose from over 100 family recipes. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Ah, it's going to be a glorious day.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal too, it's live and local now. Don't forget, coming up 10:30, Corey Lewandowski will join us. He is the author, the co-author, along with David Bossy, of the new book, Trump's Enemies, also co-authored with David Bossy on Let Trump Be Trump. And by the way, I think that book was the absolute best. The absolute best when it comes to the 2016 presidential election. I mean, I thought it was brilliant, and I can't wait to talk to my buddy Corey Lewandowski coming up 10:30. He will join us, and I'm not even sure where he is today. If he's in New Hampshire or if he's in D.C., but he'll join us. He will join us coming up about 10:30. You know, I was thinking the one great thing about having Victor Jakes in is he always makes me think. There are some columnists out there that you know, get your blood to boil and all of that. But you know what? I love the ones that make me think. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I heard him talking about education and all the money, the millions of dollars that we have spent in the Clark County School District trying to improve education, it got me to thinking. You know, we have spent millions of dollars. We spent $50 million on ELLs, right? We spent millions of dollars on Zoom schools, Victory schools, Read by Three, all these different programs. So what happens if they don't work? What happens if, you know, 2 years, 3 years, Jesus Jara, the new superintendent of schools for the Clark County School District, we wake up and we find out that there really hasn't been much change. Kids aren't learning more. Maybe they're learning less. Maybe the graduation rates are less. Maybe student achievement is less. What do we do then? Raise our taxes? Devote more money towards education? I want to ask those of you that have children in the Clark County School District, or for that matter, the Washoe County, or any of the other school districts that are out there, all across the 17 counties of our states. I want to ask you, what happens if this doesn't work? I know that there'll be a blame game, and they'll, you know, we'll be blaming our politicians, we'll be, you know, blaming our teachers. But what if it turns out all of these, what I call whiz-bang programs, what if they don't work? I'm going to open up our phone lines. That is not a rhetorical question. That is a legitimate question. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. And I want to find out from you. If you honestly believe that all of these whiz-bang programs will work, well, what if they don't work? What if student achievement doesn't increase? What if it, God forbid, decreases? These are the kids. These are the kids that are our doctors and our cops and our judges and our CEOs of the future. By the way, they're also our teachers of the future. Look out 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. And what if all of this whiz-bang stuff that we're paying millions of dollars for doesn't work? It's like getting up on Christmas morning and your child has this new toy. You put the batteries in, but it doesn't work. What are we as a society to do then? Now the knee-jerk reaction of the left will be, well, we need to spend more money. And then you tell them we spent all this money on ELLs, English language learners. And as I recall, I want to say it was back in 2015 or so, they put like $50 million into Governor Sandoval's budget for ELLs. I mean, it was unbelievable. But what if it doesn't work? We're going to get, in fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and get at least one call. Let's go to Brady. Brady, you're up and you're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Kevin. They have that climate change conference going on over in Poland, and they released a study the UN did, again, saying we are in a dire situation due to the fact that our heating of the earth, again, the scientists of the world, you're talking, we're supposed to be like the scientists and the teachers. All these people that are the scientists of the world, yet the study that was out that they do not want you to know, or it was just let out as a little blip, from February of 2016 to February of 2018, the Earth is cooled by 0.57 degrees Celsius. That's half of what they worry about the climate has done in the last 100 years. It's reversed climate warming or global warming by a half degree in 2 years. So whatever they tell you that it's warming, I ain't following it. And I'm not a scientist, but I ain't believing them.
You don't have to be a scientist to use common sense when it comes to global warming. And again, this is one of those deals because they found that the Earth wasn't warming. So they had to change global warming to climate change. Have you noticed that? Everything's now climate change, climate change, climate change. It's still global warming. But is the Earth cooling or warming? Coming up, we'll get to more of your calls coming up. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. What if all of this whiz-bang stuff involving education, if 3 to 5 years down the road we see it's not working, what do we do then? We'll see what you think coming up. Live and Local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.